I want to express my heartfelt and sincerest condolences to Mrs. Dorothy Klotz on the loss of her daughter, to her sister, Patty Melvin, to her brothers, Chris and Kevin, and the other siblings that are not here, other relatives, friends, acquaintances, and also to extend them to my sisters in Christ, the sisters of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, who lost a sister. And I offer these also on behalf of our Superior General, Bishop Mark Pivirunas. Those of you who know his schedule are often, I'm sure, in awe of the heavy load that he carries, and I'm certain that he would have liked to have been here, but it is one of those things that it just wasn't possible. So on his behalf, I extend condolences to the family. My dear brethren, a funeral is one of the greatest graces that we receive in life because we are all reminded that one day it shall be our turn. We are reminded of the frailty of life. It can easily be snuffed out. Sometimes it's by a long progress of illness. Sometimes it could be advanced age. Sometimes it can be suddenly and unexpectedly. But what is not a mystery, my dear brethren, is that it will happen. It all goes back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. And make no mistake, my dear brethren, a death sentence was imposed on us all. We will all be very tangibly reminded of this some 2 weeks from now. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Mind you, the sentence is not being imposed then. It was imposed thousands of years ago. But we are reminded as we embark on the Lenten penance and spiritual observance that we shall die one day. To remember our last end, my dear brethren, as I said, is a great grace. It helps us to live a life pleasing to God. As Scripture says, remember thy last end, and thou shalt not sin. So it is a great grace that we are receiving today as we lay our beloved sister Mary Francesca to rest. The thought of death, my dear brethren, helps us to stay focused. We waste less time realizing that for each of us there's only so much. It could be shorter, it could be longer. In God's eternal plan, He knows how long it should be for each one of us. And so as we remember that, we realize better that we have to live our life as God wants us to, so that we are always ready. We are reminded, my dear brethren, too, that whatever is not done for the love of God has no heavenly merit. That pure intention, that desire to please God, that is what obtains heavenly merit for us. As we think about our last end, my dear brethren, our Catholic faith always makes more sense, shall we say. It becomes more realistic. We see that this is the way we have to live. So that whenever our Maker calls us, we will not be like a foolish virgin who did not have oil in her lamps, but rather like one of the wise virgins who was prepared. As we think about our eternity, my dear brethren, prayer becomes more natural to us. What are we going to be doing in heaven if not praying for all eternity? Being with God, communing with God, isn't that what prayer is? We recently read a book at the rectory on the life of Blessed Peter Julian Aimard, and the title of the last chapter was so beautiful as it talked about his death. The title of it was Preparing for His Eternal Adoration. All that time that he spent before the Blessed Sacrament on earth was a preparation, nay, even a foretaste of his heavenly bliss. As a religious sister, Sister Mary Francesca spent a great deal of time in prayer. She has been called to her eternal adoration. And all that prayer that she did in her life as a layperson before she entered religion, and especially as a religious sister, many, many hours spent in prayer, it was her preparation, her foretaste. I think that she lived up to the good example of her patron, Francisco Marto, who used to spend hours on his knees before the Blessed Sacrament to console the hidden God. She had that spirit herself. When I think of Sister, and I think this is one of the things that affected me the most, is as I was mourning and grieving, I couldn't help but have sentiments of joy and thanksgiving in my heart that she persevered in her holy calling. She knew she was called to serve God in holy religion, and she persevered. She didn't quit. Despite sufferings that came along her way, despite the sacrifices of religious life, she persevered. As the Imitation of Christ says in Book 1, Chapter 17, it is no small matter to live in a monastery or in a congregation and to dwell therein without complaint and to persevere faithful until death. She had the great blessing that, of course, religious life gives of following the holy rule, of living her holy vows, of knowing what God's will was for her in her daily life. And isn't that, my dear brethren, what gets us all to heaven is doing God's will? I'm reminded of a little story from the life of Saint Aloysius Gonzaga that I believe illustrates this idea of doing God's will. Whether it be something that's more burdensome or onerous or even something delightful. As the story goes, he was at recreation one day with his fellow Jesuits, and they knew that he was a saintly young man, really striving to become holy. And they thought of a question they would put to him, and they asked him during recreation, I don't know what it was they were doing, maybe it was playing checkers or chess or something, who knows, having recreation, and they put the question to him, Aloysius, what would you do if you were told that in 15 minutes you were going to die? And you know what his answer was? I would keep on recreating. Why? Because that's God's will for me right now. I'm not supposed to be going out doing missionary activity, not even supposed to be at prayer, formal prayer, that is. I'm supposed to be recreating. And if that's where God wants me to be and He calls me, I want to be where God wants me to be. Even if you're not in the religious vocation, you still need to seek the will of God. And may we all be found when our course of life has run wherever God wanted us to be at that moment. We can say, Lord, I was doing thy will. My dear brethren, we will all greatly miss Sister Mary Francesca. Her spirit of cheerfulness, her cheerful giving was just outstanding. She had gifts and talents which she used for the glory of God and the good of others. She knew what to do so often in this situation or that situation as a teacher, as a counselor, as a nurse, or whatever other duties she had. She used her abilities to live a life of love. And we shall miss that very greatly. You will notice students in their uniforms today, and this is not something that was imposed on them. I was edified by the seniors of our high school who went around to the classrooms yesterday and asked the students to be in their uniforms today, those that were able to come. And they did it to show their relationship with Sister as their teacher or Sister as the school nurse. But I think it was more than that. It wasn't just teacher-student. I think this shows the spiritual motherhood that every religious sister, faithful to her calling, exhibits. Those are her spiritual children. Every sister that perseveres to make it to her heavenly reward will bring many spiritual children along. And we are seeing that today. Sister had such a wonderful way of relating to students, whether it be the smallest or many of them were taller than she was. I think that was part of her special gift, that she didn't look down at them. She looked across at them, or maybe even up at them. And she had, therefore, a unique way to teach spiritual lessons. Read, if you get the opportunity, what the students wrote about her. It wasn't that they appreciated her as a science teacher only. It was the spiritual lessons that she, as a bride of Christ, was able to teach through the faithfulness in her vocation. Sister Mary Francesca was a woman of conviction. She was faithful to the traditional Catholic faith throughout her life and would not brook any compromise. She knew that our Catholic faith doesn't change with the times. It can change in accidental features, but never in its substance, never in its essence. And so she was faithful in that way to the end. My dear brethren, again, as we grieve, as we mourn, we have to remember that our faith is our strength. It is our comfort at a time such as this. Her eternity has begun, and as much as she loved us, in this life, I believe that she is loving us even more because she has left this earthly veil of tears. We pray, of course, for her and for all the faithful departed. We never know how much time someone may have to spend in purgatory. That is hidden from our eyes. We have to trust the justice and the mercy of God in that regard. So our prayers, our good works for the holy souls never cease. But even if a soul is in purgatory, that soul can help us, even though that soul cannot help himself. Love does not diminish or cease or disappear. For those that die in God's grace, it increases and becomes more powerful than ever before. Did not Saint Therese, the little flower, say, I will spend my heaven doing good on earth? I believe that is something that Sister Mary Francesca would say. So we lay to rest today someone who was faithful to the end in her holy calling, faithful to our Lord. And my dear brethren, if you get the chance at all to look at the album she put together of various spiritual inspirations, you will be touched to your core, I believe. There was one picture in there of entitled Transformation in Christ. There's our Lord carrying his cross, and she put her picture there. Isn't that what we're all supposed to do, really? To be transformed in Christ? We're Christians, members of the mystical body of Christ through our baptism. You will be greatly inspired by that. We lay to rest someone who was a great apostle of Our Lady of Fatima and of the Rosary. This devotion has been strong in her family. I know it's being promoted, and I cannot emphasize how important that is, the Holy Rosary. Not that we only pray it, but we spread that devotion wherever we can for the salvation of souls. So many souls are perishing. So many souls do not have the light of faith, do not have the graces that they need, and so we, by our rosaries, bring about good. We help bring about world peace. We help bring about the salvation of souls. If anything, my dear brethren, let us take from Sister a greater commitment than ever to the Holy Rosary and to Our Lady's message of Fatima. It is not passé. It is not irrelevant. It is the message for our times. And Sister lived that message. So again, we shall miss you, Sister Mary Francesca. Though you were small, you left very big shoes to fill. There's a void there that we feel, and we cannot, really nobody can fill it, but we will all fulfill our roles. We will strive to be faithful as you were. And we pray that we may be in a blessed eternity of happiness forever. I would like to end by just a few excerpts from something that Sister wrote. You'll find copies of this in room 200. The Blessed Cross has but one purpose, and that is to empty our hearts of worldliness and self, that they may be filled to overflowing with the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing else in life will have mattered, neither what we had, nor what we became, nor what we accomplished. If love is lacking, everything is for nothing. Hell is hell because it contains no love. The devil is keenly aware that if he can seed hates in the hearts of men, love will be driven out and his victory is assured. She also talks about letting suffering do its work of building us up spiritually, to not become bitter in our sufferings, but to see that as God loving us, trying to help us to become better. Therefore, let us give to each other all that we have, not counting the cost. Pray for one another without ceasing, and beg from Jesus crucified and the Immaculata all the graces needed that our many trials, crosses, and pains here below will make of us God-bearers. Like Mary, we will carry the adorable presence of Jesus Christ into the whole world. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and the perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and all of the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.